And I'm convinced there's more miracles happen every day than we'll ever know and that we'll ever see or understand. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes I'm glad for all the times God goes ahead of me and I don't even know it. Amen. Amen. That God has intervened and interceded on my behalf in times I didn't even know it. That God's working on my behalf. Hallelujah. Sometimes in hindsight we see, you know, the miraculous of God. But if we ever really knew everything that He does ahead of us. Hallelujah. And everything that He's already activated, and everything He's already orchestrating, and everything He's already put together. The older I get, the more I find out that God is weaving a tapestry of our lives, and He interconnects us and intertwines us with folks and circumstances and places. And I believe that God strategically places us in houses, and He strategically places us in areas where God can begin to move and to begin to activate His goodness, amen, to activate the supernatural, hallelujah. And so the supernatural doesn't have to be spooky or weird or, you know, far out there. How many know sometimes it's just something outside the realm of your thinking and your understanding, hallelujah. How many are glad when God just blows your mind with His goodness, hallelujah. When it's outside the realm of my reasoning or outside the realm of my understanding and God moves and does the miraculous, hallelujah, that's something to give Him praise for, amen, hallelujah. So we've ministered before out of the book of Exodus chapter 14, a scripture that the Lord had so laid on my heart one week on my way to work. And it seemed as if it was one of those weeks that I really didn't necessarily feel like the Lord spoke it to me personally. And yet I received it personally, because anything God's speaking, I'm declaring over myself also. Amen. You don't have to have the prophet come lay hands on you and say, "Thus saith the Lord" to you to receive the prophetic word from God. Amen. You understand that when the word comes forth and God's declaring a prophetic word, and I've heard people give a prophetic word over somebody else and say, "I'll say, Lord, I'll take that one too. I'll claim that one for me. I'll take that for my house or for myself." Amen. And so, you know, I appreciate the voice of the Lord in our life and the God having the ability to speak into our lives in different areas of our lives. And He began to speak to me out of Exodus chapter 14. And so we went there the other week or so. And what I really felt like the Lord had spoke was, He said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." But in the scripture ahead of that, it said in Exodus 14, you don't have to turn there, but Exodus 14 and 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Hallelujah. I mean, you know, when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, they came into a place where they had nowhere else to go except the Red Sea be before them. And as the people began to get nervous and they began to get scared, God said to Moses, "The Egyptians you see today, you will see no more forever. Hallelujah. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Hallelujah. Now that's good news. Amen. God has got this covered. And so here they are about to cross the Red Sea and not knowing where to go from here. But how many know they just came out of some major miraculous stuff? They did not just get to the Red Sea by chance, and they just happened in their journey to land up in a place where there was an obstacle in front of them. How many know God has miraculously, divinely, supernaturally delivered them out of the hands of Egyptian bondage? He's brought the plagues on them. They brought the lamb in the house, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel passed over their house, and their house was spared, but the Egyptian house has suffered loss. And so God miraculously delivered them and brings them out of there with a high hand, and they get to the place of the Red Sea, and they start to question God again and say, "What are we going to do now?" And God begins to speak to Moses and said, "The Egyptians you see in your today are not meant for your tomorrow. You will see them no more forever." How many know sometimes you may be looking at some Egyptian circumstances right now or some opposition, but I want to tell you, it was in your yesterday, it's not in your today, and it's not to be carried over into your tomorrow. How many know God let them know right up front, these Egyptians are not meant for your tomorrow, they're meant for your yesterday. Hallelujah. How many know there's some things that are meant to stay in your yesterday? Hallelujah. They're meant to stay behind you. They're meant to stay where they were. And you know, as we minister that, the scripture says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And we generally interpret that and say, the Lord will fight for you. Just keep silent. Just watch and see what God's about to do. And I believe that. Amen. How many know sometimes I can reason it. I can talk it out. I can try to explain it. And I still can't figure it all out. Sometimes I just got to be silent and let God fight for me. Amen. But Sister Shirley shared something even more above and beyond that the other Sunday. She said, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold on to your peace. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you just got to hold on to your peace and not let anything else around you, behind you, ahead of you shake you out of a place of peace. Amen. Sometimes you got to just say, I'm going to hold on to my peace. And I'm going to believe God, if he's brought me this far, he's going to take me to where he wants to take me. Amen. Whether it be the Red Sea ahead of me, regardless of what it looks like ahead of me, it was meant for my yesterday, not for my tomorrow. Hallelujah. So there's a whole lot of things I refuse to carry into my tomorrow. Amen. Sometimes we got to make up our minds and say, I'm not carrying that with me. I'm not taking that into my tomorrow. That when God buried it in the sea, in the Red Sea, the scripture says, the horse and his rider he has cast into the sea. Hallelujah. Another scripture says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. How many know my trust today is not in man's horses or chariots or any other weapons of war? My trust is in the Almighty today. Hallelujah. And so I realize that he's fighting for me on my behalf. He did the greatest warfare at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. How many know he fought for me on my behalf? And what was in my yesterday has no business in my tomorrow. Hallelujah. So he says, hold on to your peace. How do we do that? How many know sometimes you got to just declare peace over yourself? You got to declare peace over some situations. And so as we're going into Exodus chapter 15, that's where I want to pick up today. And Moses starts out in Exodus chapter 15, and he sings what is known as the Song of Moses. Okay? Now, whether Moses gets up and sings this vocally, or whether he writes this in a poetic sense of writing, however, but it's called the Song of Moses, okay? And he starts out by saying, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying. I mean, you know, when the children of Israel began to murmur, and they began to question things and said, what did you bring us out here to let us die? What's the plan, Moses? God says to Moses, why are you crying to me? What's in your hand? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we cry out to God and God's saying, I gave you everything at your disposal that you need to handle this. Why are you asking me? Activate what you got. How many know in the hand of Moses, he already is holding the rod of miracles in his hands. The rod that became a stake when he cast it down. The hand that became leprous when he put it in his garment. The hand that reached out over the Nile and caused the water to turn to blood. The hand that when Moses lifted his rod, something happened. Whether it was plagues or whether it was miracles, whatever it was, something happened. But how many know sometimes in the face of adversity, we forget to realize what's in our hands? The power of God in our hands, the ability, the filling, the fulfillment of God in our hands to minister to the situation at hand. Now, I believe God works through us. I don't believe it's my own natural power. Hallelujah. When we come up and lay hands on people up here, there's no more power in my hands than there is in your hands. I mean, no, you got the same Holy Ghost that I got. There is no little Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad about that? There's no little Holy Ghost that unless somebody in particular lays hands on me that I can be healed. How many know you can be healed wherever you are, whenever you want, whenever God moves? Hallelujah. The kids used to say, if you're going to pray, you're going to have to pray like Pap. And when you lay your hands on him, you pray. But then when you get done, you got to shake your head. Because Pap would get the jerk on him when he'd start to pray, and, you know, and he'd get that jerk. And the kids thought that that was Pap. They didn't realize that was the Holy Ghost moving on and giving him the jerk. They thought that that was Pap saying, okay, that's it. You got it. That was Pap saying yes. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to say amen to some things. You got to say yes to it. Hallelujah. I would that some people would get a little bit of jerk on them. Say, all right, I'm just going to shake my head and say amen, so be it, to what God's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So he told them, he said, activate what you already got. Activate what's in your hand. Use what you got, Moses. Don't stop now. You've already been doing the miraculous. You've already been hearing God. Keep going what you've been doing. Hallelujah. And so as he begins to stretch the rod out over the waters, lo and behold, the waters roll back. Now listen to this. The whole Red Sea becomes an avenue, becomes a pathway for the whole multitude of millions of people to pass across the Red Sea on dry ground. Everybody say amen. Amen. That's the miraculous. Amen. That's the supernatural. Now, somebody said, well, that wasn't such a big miracle because there wasn't very much water in the Red Sea at that time, so it wasn't a big deal that they were able to walk across. Well, we'll take that if that's what you want to be the truth. But if that's the case, he drowned the whole nation of the Egyptian armies in a teaspoon of water. So either way you want to mark it up, it's the miraculous. Amen. Hallelujah. Either way, those Egyptians we saw yesterday, they're not in my tomorrow. Hallelujah. And so you can reason it out all you want to. The fact of the matter is God knows what God is doing, and he's doing the miraculous in our midst. Amen. So Moses comes along, the children of Israel, and they start to sing the song of Moses. In Exodus chapter 15.
He's talking about, take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. God will fight the battle for you, and you keep your mouth shut. And it's got an exclamation point. And it says, God said to Moses, why cry out to me? Speak to the Israelites. Order them to get moving. Hold your staff high and stretch it out over the sea. Split the sea. The Israelites will walk through the sea on dry land. He's telling them, you got to move forward. And when you move forward, sometimes that's what gets rid of your enemy.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's in the moving forward. And the silence of our voice. Yes, sometimes it's the silence of our voice so we can hear the voice of what God wants to say. I think I said a week or so here ago that one of the time the Lord spoke the scripture to me. Terry never forgets it, but it's the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. And there's times when I have to remind myself that God is in his holy temple. God is still in control. God is still God. Just shut up, earth. Just be silent before him and let his voice be heard. Let him speak in all the earth and move forward. Hallelujah. How many know there is no retreat? There is no going back. And what I loved about this scripture, when we brought it out the other week, we look at this in the scripture that says the angel that had gone before them came around and was behind them and covered them from and separated them from the Egyptian. Hallelujah. I'm very glad that he's got your back in this. He's not just leading you in a direction with your enemy at your back. It said the angel of the Lord came around behind and had their back and stood behind them. God's got your back this morning. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. And so he's got you covered. He's got you taken care of. And so we get over into Exodus chapter 15, and they start to sing the song of Moses. And it says, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And he goes on in Exodus 15 to just continue to say, man, God has thrown the horse and his rider into the sea. God has given us the victory. God has brought us out of the land of hundreds of years of oppression and bondage. God has supernaturally delivered us. God has brought to pass everything that Joseph said was going to come to pass. He said, God's going to deliver you out of this land and out of this people. This is not your dwelling place. And when you do, when you come up out of this land, don't you leave my bones in Egypt. You take my bones up out of this place, because when the victory comes, I'm going with you. Hallelujah. You know, I believe when we have victories in our life, and I believe as we even go into greater areas of calling in our lives and what God has purposed for us, how many know I believe we carry the bones of those behind us who have gone ahead of us and paved the way, the patriarchs and matriarchs that said, I may not see it with my eyes, but I'm going to be there with you in Spirit, carry me with you, because everything that you accomplish in the days to come, I want to be a part of what God has already prophesied, what he's already declared, and what all he's already spoken over my land and over my people. Hallelujah. There may be some things that I won't see in the natural. Hallelujah, but I want to be a part of that. Hallelujah. I might want to be a forerunner of that. I might want to declare the day that when somebody says, I think we're getting out of this place, they can look back to a day and say, God prophesied it. God said that he would bring the deliverance, and I'm going to walk in the deliverance that he declared and that he spoke. And so here they are. They come out of here, and they're singing the song of Moses, and they've got the victory. Hallelujah, you know, and they're doing the dance, and they have got the victory. Amen. And we get over into the verse 19, and something kind of caught my eye a little bit last night. Verse 18 says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And I love this. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath he thrown into the sea. Now here's what happens after Moses makes his proclamation. And Moses says all of the great deliverance that God has done. All of a sudden we see there's a prophetess named Miriam. And she picks up her tambourine and she starts to dance. And she starts to praise. And she starts to stir up excitement in the camp of those of the Israelite women. And they start to dance before the Lord. And they start to praise before the Lord. How many know Miriam had a tambourine and she meant to give God some glory with it? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to pick up your tambourine? Now, you may not have a natural tambourine. That's all right. If you do, Brother Ron, he's got himself a natural tambourine. How many know sometimes you need to pick up your tambourine and dance before the Lord? Amen. I mean, the power of your praise has the power and the ability to tear down strongholds. It has the power to lift you to a place higher than you were when you came in. It has the ability to magnify the Lord. It has the ability to spill over on somebody beside you. And before you know it, somebody beside you getting happy because you got happy. Hallelujah. Any cheerleaders in the house? Anybody in here ever was a cheerleader? There we go. We got a couple cheerleaders. How many know your job as cheerleader? You all do not want to see linen tights, do you? I mean, no, your job as cheerleader is to give everybody else the confidence that we can win this thing. Amen? Your job is to keep the crowd involved. And the more the crowd cheers, the more the players feel the excitement in the house, the more pumped they get, the more convinced that they can accomplish what needs to be done. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, no, if you're on the sideline as a cheerleader leader, that's not the time to have the gloom and the dooms. That's the time to lift up the atmosphere of the house. Amen? That's the job of the cheerleader. How many know Miriam grabs a tambourine and she says, I'm going to get my praise on today. I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to do me some singing because God has just delivered us miraculously from the hand of our Egyptian enemy. Hallelujah. Now, your timbrel may not be natural. It may be your hands. It may be just your voice. It may be just your spirit. But how many know there are those that are set in the body that are encouragers? Aren't you glad for the encouragers in your life? There's somebody that could cheer you on. There's somebody that could keep the atmosphere going where you got your spirits lifted up. You got your heart lifted up. You got your mind lifted up. Hallelujah. And so they get the tambourines and the timbrels and they begin to dance before the Lord, and they begin to sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed glorious, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, here's my question this morning. What happened to the tambourine? What happened to the timbrel? We just sang, we just danced, we just gave God glory for the most miraculous thing that he had brought us through. He's brought us through the Red Sea. He's cast the enemy he's destroyed the horse and the rider. He's brought us to this place. We got the tambourine, we got the victory, we got the shout, we got everything we need. And the first time we come to an obstacle, what happened to the tambourine? What happened to the timbrel? What happened to our shout? What happened to our praise? What happened to our victory? And don't we do this sometimes? We have the victory while we're here and while we're in a spirit of corporate worship and we feel the power and feel the anointing. How many know? I don't believe that we're a people that should have to walk in and out of the presence of God. I don't believe we walk in and out of that glory. I don't believe we have to have mountaintop and valley experiences. Now, I believe sometimes those things can come into our lives, and I know that we all come through struggles. But let me tell you what, you can either face it with music or you can face it with murmuring, but you can't do both at the same time. You cannot murmur and shout at the same time. You can't whine and complain and praise at the same time. How many know sometimes you got to get up out of bed, make a conscious decision that today I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. I don't care what it looks like ahead of me. I don't care what it looks like behind me. I don't care if there's some bitter things going on in my life right now. I just refuse to put down my tambourine. I refuse to lay down my timbrel. I refuse to give power to a rant. I refuse to give power to anything in my life other than what I've seen, the deliverance of God and His miraculous hand in my life. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, it's a conscious decision. It's a conscious decision to say, I refuse to give my tambourine to anybody. I refuse to give my timbrel to anybody. How many know there's somebody, there's got to be a Miriam somewhere. There's got to be a cheerleader. There's got to be somebody that says, come on, girls, let's get the tambourine. It ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. As long as I'm still breathing, I'm still kicking, God's still moving. Hallelujah. And the more that we give power to the adversary in our life, the more we focus on what's behind us, the less we'll see of what's ahead of us. Hallelujah. And the more I learn in my life not to give power to things that don't belong in my life. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we can get on a rant. Or we can get on a soapbox, and the more you rant about something, the more you give power to that thing, the more it becomes part of your day. Before you know it, you got your blood pressure up. You got a headache. You have worried yourself sick over something that you cannot change anyway. Hallelujah. But I know Him who is able to change, who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or think. So I'm telling you today, if you're thinking high, you go ahead and think high, because He's able to do above and beyond even what you can ask or think today. So don't lay down your tambourine. Don't let anybody steal your praise or your joy. Pick up your tambourine. Get your music on. Find you something to sing and give God glory, because God's about to do the miraculous again. Hallelujah. How many know it was not their murmuring and complaining that changed their circumstances? Hallelujah. It was not their murmuring and complaining that changed their circumstances, but their circumstances had to change how they responded to what they did. You can sit here and cry at these waters of Marah all you want to, till you've run out of tears, or somebody's going to have to get some water in Marah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to have to get some vision of what to do.
Snakes came among them. I was just thinking while you talk about even when they crossed the Red Sea, clear over here a couple books beyond this, and the book of Joshua, when they finally get to the promised land, they get to Canaan, the enemy says to them, we heard about you when you crossed the Red Sea. So something that happened way back there had affected something that's way ahead of you. And what we don't realize is that it's our praise. See, the enemy knew something they didn't know. And sometimes the key is, if we don't, and that's a hard lesson to learn, is not to murmur, because you get in your immediate circumstance and you forget every miracle you've had up to this point, because you're looking at your immediate circumstance. But something even that happened clear back then has already affected something in your future. That's powerful to me.
That's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful. And the enemy had heard, they said, where have you been?
Yeah.
We heard of you.
You know, one of the things I've been teaching in recent a series out of Psalm 195, that we have the power to execute the judgment written. And the judgment written is that, you know, a judgment was met 2,000 years ago, the judgment was in favor of the plaintiff. We won the case.
Yeah.
But what executes that judgment, you know, all down through there, he says, sing the Lord a new song. Let his praise be in your mouth. Let a two-edged sword be in your hand. Let the high praises of God. Let you sing aloud upon your bed. And so when I'm teaching that series, the Lord said, I said to the Lord, how, you know, I see all this about executing the dominion, exercising the authority. How do we do that? And the Lord said, I just told you. I said, what do you mean? He said, you got to praise the high praises of God. We don't realize how powerful praise is, and we don't realize how powerful complaint is. We don't realize how powerful murmuring is. And we don't, you know, because if complaint and murmuring creates an atmosphere for snakes to come among them, the children of Israel not only complained, they complained about the miracle. We hate this light bread. And snakes came among them. So if murmuring and complaining creates an environment for serpents to operate, praise creates the exact opposite. It creates an atmosphere for God to operate. And so, you know, your words are like the rudder of a ship. They turn everything in either direction or not a direction. And so what you say is really important even in the situations that you're in. And that's a tough lesson sometimes to learn, but it's still very powerful.
It is, absolutely. ASAP? It's all right.
I was thinking when you said that the angel came and stood behind them, yes, God had their back, but I think at the same time, he was making sure, he was saving them from themselves. Because all along the way, they kept wanting to turn around and go back to Egypt. And I think that the Egyptians that were coming after them were coming with a lot of trepidation because their kids just died. They're covered in boils. The water turned to blood. Like, those Egyptians, if I were on that team going after the Israelites, I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to go after these people that clearly God is for them, not for us. We need to just let them go. So I really don't think that the angel was there to block the Egyptians from the Israelites. I think the angel was there to block the Israelites from going back to the Egyptians. You know, Dad always says that broke is a circumstance, poor is a state of mind. And they had a slave mentality. And so they were poor. And they had this grip on them that they thought that that's all they were worth and that's all they could accomplish. And I think that angel was there to say, no, I'm going to bless you whether you want me to or not, and I'm not going to let you go back to that over and over again. When they got to the other side, they said, well, we could have died in Egypt. We might as well go back to Egypt. We're going to die here in the desert. And, you know, they kept doing that all along. And like Lynn said, when they got to the promised land, they said, where have you guys been? We've been waiting on you. We knew you were going to come. We knew God was on your side. We were waiting to get out of the way. And I think that was the case with the Egyptians, too. They know that they're not going to win here. It's been proven over and over and over again. You're not going to win anymore. It's their turn now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that angel was put there so that they couldn't go back.
That's good.
You know, Lisa, also,
yep.
I know we're butting in here.
That's all right. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things we said, Jeremy said last week on last week's television program, we were talking about the error of Balaam, because he was trying to curse people who weren't under a curse, but you know, when Balaam went up the mountain, he saw to curse the people hired by Balak. He said when he went up the third time, every time he'd go up to curse them, he couldn't curse, he'd have to bless them. And he came back, when he went to the third time, Balak said, well, maybe if you take a look at them from another perspective, you could curse them if you could just get them. So he went up the third time to the mountain, and he said, when I beheld Israel in her tents. And Jeremy said this last week. He said, you know, when Israel was in her tents, she was camped in the shape of a cross. And so they were camped three on the north, three on the west, you know, three on the east, three on the south. It was, and they were camped with their backs to the enemy, facing the tabernacle, because the furniture in the tabernacle was in the shape of a cross. So everything about this camp at rest has the cross central. The thing that makes you rest is the fact that the cross is central. And so, you know, I said, well, you know, that then if you got your focus on the cross, God's got your back. But Jeremy said something real powerful that I never thought of before. He said, if you're camped on this side and there's somebody camped on that side, you're looking this way, they're looking this way. So not only does God got your back, I got your back, because I could see what's going on behind you. And so, you know, that's really a powerful thought, is it's not only God's got your back, but when you're part of a camp and a nation, not a tribe. Because what happens is, even we got to talking about, you know, how that each tribe would be facing something different. If you were Judah, what you saw was you saw the brazen altar right in front of you. You saw the brazen laver. So what your emphasis is on is your whole world is wrapped up in, well, it's about the blood. If you're camped on the other side, you're seeing what would be right in front of you would be the table of showbread, and you're thinking, well, your whole world is wrapped up. No, it's about the word. It's about the word. It's about the word. If you're on the other side, you're seeing the candlestick, and you know it's about the anointing flowing through the center. It's about the gifts of the Spirit. It's about God moving. If you're camped on the other side, no, it's all finished work. It's third dimension. It's mercy seat. And what our problem is we have a certain emphasis, and we think that's the only emphasis God has. Because that's the emphasis my camp has, my tribe has, at this particular season. But the truth of it is there's some other stuff that some other camps or some other tribes are emphasizing that you're going to need sooner or later. And so they're not our enemies. That's what we got to stop seeing is, you know, I see even such division among, even the grace camp, the same message, and people strain over stuff instead of having each other's backs. Whether it's a local church setting or the corporate body. But what we have to realize is this is not a tribal thing. It's a holy nation thing. So you've got to lose your tribal mentality and say, well, you know what? This may not be my cup of tea right now. It's like, you know, even the thing where you're doing with the Lenten dinners. You say, well, these people maybe are not our tribe, but they are our nation. There are, in other words, they've got somebody has got to do what these people are doing. In other words, God calls them, we be brothers, exactly. And you may not be from the same tribe, but the truth of it is that the purpose is still the same. And so, you know, I believe that one of the things that really carries us through those times is not only just God having your back, but having each other's backs, even when it's not your particular tribe, so to speak, you know, and just stop viewing people as enemies. And I think some of that has been, you know, people have taught out of a response to, a rebellion to what they came out of. Everybody else is wrong, we're right type of thing. And that's not really what it's about. It's about producing a flow of God among this corporate holy nation where God stays in the midst of us and we see the water healed and the miraculous continue to take place because there are needs that will continue as you go, you know.
Absolutely. We need every area of that. Amen. You know, even in thinking about, you know, your upbringing and things like that, and we came through a lot of different denominations, a lot of different teaching and things like that. And I never have despised any of my upbringing because every part of it has been an element to develop to who I am today. The power of Pentecost. Some of us to learn not what not to do and to learn what to do. But how many know, out of every part of that, if you have an open heart to hear what the Spirit says to the church, how many know that's the key? That if you have an ear to hear to what thus saith the Lord, what God is speaking and what God is declaring to you, that, you know, you can walk through a whole lot of different areas or different, you know, thoughts or streams or camps, whatever we want to call them, and glean and gather, amen, the good from all of that. Hallelujah. So the angel of the Lord said he had our back. You know, God's got our back. And, you know, even as Aaron was sharing there in the thought that, I mean, no, it took them a span of time to get out of Egypt, but it took them 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Yep. He got them out of Egypt way easier than he ever got Egypt out of them, because their mindset continually was, you should have left us in Egypt. We could have just, wasn't the leeks and onions and the garlics of Egypt better than what we had? What were there no graves back in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? So how many know, you know, there's the mindset that always is wanting to say to go back, or it was better back then. How many know, even where we are right here and right now, it's still a progressive word. Aren't you glad for that? We still don't know everything that we need to know about the word and the message and the power of the covenant of grace of what God is doing in our lives. Hallelujah. So I think about that every time you think that you got a corner on the market of what you know God is saying. How many know God is still always saying something bigger and something greater because it's a progressive word. Hallelujah. And so they find themselves at the waters of Marah instead of being still keeping, you know, in the mindset of praise and worship, thinking, okay, we haven't had water for 3 days, but, you know, we've been in Egypt for hundreds of years. So, you know, if God is able to roll back the Red Sea, he's able to create water in a dry place. Amen? I mean, no, bitterness can be bitter waters. If you're drinking of bitter waters in your life, and I'm talking about not just the water that you drink, how many know that could cause you to be discouraged, it caused you to be in bitterness of soul, it caused you to be weary. And I mean, bitterness can be a root that springs up that will strangle out the very life out of you if you allow it. And it said they came to Marah, and they couldn't drink of the waters, so they called it Marah. And says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Hallelujah. And they had already lost the tambourine, they'd already lost the dance, the song, the worship. And it says, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Can I tell you that the answer to your bitterness, the answer to your dry season, the answer to the miraculous that you need right now in this day, in this season, is always, the answer is always going to be the tree. That tree is a cross called Calvary that Jesus died upon, so that you don't have to live in a place of bitterness. You don't have to live in Mara. You don't have to live in yesterday's bondage. You don't have to live in fear of Pharaoh's chariots. How many know there is a tree in the midst of the waters that's able to make those things that seem bitter to be made sweet in your life? Hallelujah. The tree is always the answer to the water. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to my voice, to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there was 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Hallelujah. How many know the tree, the leaves of the trees are always for the healing of the nations? The tree is the answer to every situation. We got to put the tree in the midst of bitter situation, in the midst of bitter waters, in the midst of our life. The cross has to be the power of God. How many know the cross is all about forgiveness? Amen? It's all about the curse in reverse. How many know the greatest cure for bitterness is forgiveness? Do you know that? The greatest cure for bitterness is forgiveness. You can be bitter in your life, and it can be a disease that'll eat you up if you allow it to. But the moment that you really can come to grips with the power of forgiveness, that you can forgive, you release not just that person from it, but you release yourself from the power that unforgiveness and bitterness has on you. And even beyond that, the power of the forgiveness of the cross of Calvary releases you from the bitter waters of your past, the bitter waters of your anxiety, or the things that you stress over, you worry over. When you really can come to the place in yourself that you realize you've been forgiven, hallelujah. How many are thankful for the moment when you really realize I'm forgiven from that? That's no longer on my account. That's no longer held to my expense. I don't have to pay that debt. That debt has already been paid for me. I am forgiven. Yeah. Hallelujah. And out of that forgiveness, it empowers you to forgive other people. Hallelujah. I mean, no, unforgiveness just keeps you indebted to somebody else's problems. But when you really truly can forgive, you release not just them, you release yourself from being a prisoner of that, of unforgiveness. Hallelujah. And so the power of the cross in our life is always the empowerment to be set free from unforgiveness and from bitterness. Hallelujah. The scriptures in Psalms 46 and 4. Can you bring that one up, Steph? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Hallelujah. The scripture says that in Elim there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, there's another scripture in Genesis that talks about the descendants, and those who went down into Egypt were 70 of the house of Jacob. There were 70 of the house of Jacob that went down into Egypt. And the scripture tells us when they come out of the wilderness and when they come out of Egypt, a great and mighty nation of people, God not only provides them with water and palm trees, but he does it in such a personal way that every tribe that came out of the land of Egypt had a spring of water, and every one of the generations of Jacob who come out of there had a palm tree. Now, that's not just that God provided. He said, okay, I'm going to need 12 streams, and I'm going to need 70 palm trees to take care of this many people. How many know he represented every one of those generations that come out of there, of the house of Jacob, and every tribe that was standing there was represented. And as Lynn was saying, there may have been 12 streams or 12 springs that represented each one of the nations, but how many know every one of those streams are important? Every one of those wells are important. When Lynn was just saying before, we can say, oh, they're not in the same stream that I am, or they're not in the same camp that I am. Let me tell you, there's something in their stream or in your camp that you just might need. And when we come together and every stream and every joint supplies, how many know there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God? Because when streams begin to flow together, how many know then there are rivers? And when rivers flow into bigger bodies, then there are seas and oceans. Hallelujah. And we began to see that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Hallelujah. There must be somebody who's drinking from a well that's not bitterness, from a stream or a spring that's not of bitter waters, but flows from a place of life. Hallelujah. I love the fact that there's provision there for every nation and every generation. I'm not just about trying to get to heaven myself. It's not enough for me just to be saved. I want my generations to know God. I want my generations to know God in a greater way than I've ever experienced. I'm not selfish or not jealous when somebody else younger than me raises up and has an anointing or understands the power of God. I want to see the generations rise up and begin to bless the Lord and not have to go back to Egypt and experience Egypt to get to where we are. They can start where we left off and go from there, because they know the testament and the testimony of those who have went ahead of them or behind them to prepare the way. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I was looking at some scriptures this week. I'm just going to touch on them real quick and then we'll go, because I'm not going to get into a lot of detail of them. But what I was reading this week in the scriptures, and there's something that has always intrigued me about the scriptures, and I continually am looking into it and continually trying to figure it all out. But how many know in the beginning of the book of Genesis starts with a tree of life and rivers. It says there was a river that flowed out of Eden and went into the four branches, and there was four rivers that flowed out of Eden: Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. There were four rivers that flowed out of that place, a place of Eden, a place of paradise, a place before the curse, a place before the fall. And how many know in the book of Genesis, it starts with a tree in the life of life in the midst of the garden and rivers. And then when we get to the book of Revelation, go ahead and bring up Revelation 22. It ends with a tree and a river. Hallelujah. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river that was there, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Everybody say, no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Hallelujah. How many know in the book of Genesis, it starts with the tree of life and the river that flows and no curse. The book of Revelation ends with the tree of life, the river that flows out of the throne of God, and no curse. How many know that's God's plan from the beginning of time? The tree of life, the river that flows, and no curse. Yep. Hallelujah. And he says, out of that, go on to verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. How many know when the waters were bitter and marah, God brought them to a tree, and he caused springs to come forth, a spring of life. Hallelujah. And the beginning of the garden, we start with a tree and a tree of life and a river that flows. Book of Revelations, we end with a tree of life and a river that flows and no more curse. Can I just tell you that that's God's plan for his people? as that we walk in that tree of life, understanding the power of the cross, that we stay in the river of God, that everything, if is what we preach, must come from a slain lamb, from the throne of God, from a tree of life that flows out of the throne of God and out of a slain lamb. Amen? And from a tree of life. God's purpose is that we not live in the curse of Adam, not live in a curse, in a state of fallenness, not live in a state of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many know God? People are still choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil over the tree of life. Amen? Hallelujah. When we fall back into our own power to fix our own self, we're eating from a tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of eating from a tree of life. I do not have the power today to fix myself. I do not have the power to pay my own debts, but he paid a debt that he did not owe for me. And our lives have to flow out of a place where it's the tree of life, it's the slain lamb, it's the cross of Calvary, it's a pure river. And wherever that river flows, Isaiah declares that wherever that river flows, it's going to bring life. So go ahead and say to them who have a fearful heart, fear not, be strong, for behold, your God will come with vengeance, he will come, and with a recompense, he will come and save you. And then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, for in the wilderness shall waters spring out and streams in the desert. Hallelujah. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for who? For them, those who have a revelation of a tree of life and of a slain lamb and the power of the river of life that flows from the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. I mean, we don't have to remain in bitterness. We do not have to live in bitterness. We do not have to dwell in the land of Marah. Hallelujah. You know how I know we can stay out of that place? His provision in us. Hallelujah. The wells, the life, the tree, everything that God has given to us. When you focus on where you are right now, you'll miss what God's about to do. Hallelujah. How many know Miriam said she got a timbrel. She picked up a tambourine. And she began to lead a song of worship, and she began to lead a song of praise. I mean, no, the worst thing you can do now is lay down your tambourine. The worst thing you can do is now begin to focus on the bitter waters or where the place where you are right now. There are things that happen in our life. Amen. There are times when we walk through places that we don't understand. But I'm going to tell you, the very best thing you do, the greatest weapon you may have today might look a whole lot like a tambourine. It might look a whole lot like a flute. It might look a whole lot like a drum. It might look a whole lot like a praise. It might look a whole lot like a dance. But you need to lift your voice and begin to bless God and declare the goodness of God over every situation you walk in, because regardless of what you see, you have the victory through God and through the power of the cross and through the flow of the river, that if we'll stay in the river, there's life. Hallelujah. Amen. There is life in the river. Pick up your tambourine, Miriam, and begin to sing your song, because you got the victory. Hallelujah. So often we forget that we got the victory, and we put down our tambourine. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you. Pick up your tambourine. Begin to lift up your voice. Begin to declare the goodness of God. Begin to declare his mercy over your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Murmuring can be a trap that we fall in. Asaph said, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. If the power of complaint and murmuring has the power to bring snakes into our midst, how much more the power of praise and victory has the power to bring life into our midst. Amen? You got to choose which one you want to do. You got to choose which one you want to do, and you got to begin to lift up your voice and praise. Hallelujah. You got to begin to pick. Jesus healed the bitter waters through a tree called Calvary, a tree of life. Amen? He took the bitter waters of sin, sickness, poverty, death, defeat. He took it to the cross of Calvary, so you do not have to drink of those bitter waters. On the cross of Calvary, they handed him bitter herbs, bitterness to drink, bitter grapes, bitter wine. Amen? Hallelujah. He drank that cup for you. He said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. How many know he drank the cup of bitterness for you, that you don't have to drink that cup anymore, that you don't have to live and reside and dwell in a state of bitterness, but you can have life and water and his spirit springing forth. Hallelujah. Pick up your tambourine and begin to declare the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Begin to declare the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes you don't feel like picking it up. Sometimes it might start out as a hum. Before you know it, it'll end up in a song. And it just might end up dancing. Hallelujah. I got the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have the victory this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. We'll give him some praise today. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. While the children are coming in.